I have a lot of friends who are congressmen, Democrats, Republicans, but I have a special feeling for Congressman Chris Gibson, who is now leaving New York's 19th district, retiring at the end of this year. Chris, you said you were going to set a term limit for yourself. You did it. How come?
Well, I firmly believe that we were never meant to have a permanent political class. This is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And I think what that means is that we have individuals, men and women, who go to Washington. They serve us for a period of time. They stay in touch. They provide the voice. And they come home. So it was important to me to lead by example. I certainly co-sponsored legislation that would enact term limits, but you can imagine how unpopular that was. I think I was one of nine one session. I think we may have had just a few more than nine this session. But I thought it was important to lead by example. You know, related, I'm actually doing an event with Susan Lerner of Common Cause.
Indeed.
And, you know, in large measure, this is because I want to provide a voice for political reform. I'm sure at some point in the next two sessions, if not this one, we'll talk about what President-elect Trump promised. He promised to drain the swamp. I think all of us should hold him accountable for that. I mean, that needs to happen. I think that we need term limits. I think we need campaign finance reform of the right kind. I think we need independent redistricting. I think there should be stipulations put on the backside of members when they're done with their service. When we talk about draining the swamp, when we talk about fixing a rigged system, all of those measures, I believe, need to have a vote, and I hope that they would pass.
Well, you know, I was going to go to another place, but we'll do that in our next session and talk about what you feel were your major accomplishments when you were in the Congress. But now that you've raised all of this question of reform, let's talk about that. Let's talk about specific things you'd like to see done. Term limits is one of them.
Well, yeah, and let me say this as a prefacing remark. I think that one of the things that helped Donald Trump win the presidency is when he looked into the camera and he said, it's a rigged system. And the only way that's going to change is if you come out and vote for me. I think that really connected with a lot of folks. I think that the message from the election was about jobs. It was about rising wages. And it was about corruption. And so that was the platform that he ran on. And now I think it's incumbent upon all of us to do two things. One is give him a chance. And the second is hold him accountable. And so when you talk about fixing a rigged system, you got to look at a number of different things. First of all, why do people feel it's rigged? Well, they feel it's rigged because if you are moneyed interest or if you have friends that are in Washington, D.C., the system works for you. You can find ways to get special provisions in the tax code. You can get essentially what would be the equivalent of an earmark, even though technically we don't have earmarks anymore. In reality, we know that those earmarking actions still happen. They just happen in the basement of the federal departments. These decisions are still being made on where money's spent. And when it comes to regulatory processes, all these things that if you know somebody or if you are very wealthy, you have a system that works for you. But if you're an average person, like I think about my family where I came from, my dad was a mechanic in the building construction trades. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Nobody in our family had ever gone to college from the time we came and immigrated from the old countries. And, you know, for people like that, they don't feel this system works for them at all. They feel like increasingly that they get extracted for more resources. They see it either going to those in the safety net or those who are billionaires. And they see a middle class, a working class that is left behind. That's with regard to everyday life. When you look at the political system, there's a perspective, there's a belief that, first of all, it's rigged for incumbents. You know, there's all this talk about draining the swamp. And as you know, as with your PhD in political science, and what was the rate of incumbency victory?
Yeah,
it was close to 100% this
absolutely.
Year. I think there was a handful of folks who lost. And there was generally a story of corruption, personal corruption on them that who lost. But the re-election rate was approaching 100%. And so, you know, I used to teach this as well. You know, I was an infantryman, but I taught for 3 years at the United States Military Academy.
And you have a PhD, too.
Well, indeed. And so, one of the faults I have is I'm over analytical. So, I mean, I've looked at this, and I know there are arguments on both sides You know, I've had constituents say, well, you know, Chris, I mean, the election, you know, the ballot box is the term limit. Well, in a perfect world, that would be so. It really would. That would be so, because the people would decide. But this is not a perfect world, and the system is rigged for incumbents, for all the ways that they're able to get their name out and the way that they're able to raise money. So, you know, we have to, I think, as a people, we have to say, look, we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And to get us in line with the spirit of one person, one vote, there's a series of reforms that need to happen.
Okay, let's tick them off real fast.
All right, so term limits. You know, when I first got started in this, yeah, I was a proponent of 6 years for the House, 12 years for the Senate. I have come to see that that's probably unrealistic. However, I still believe that 12 years in both in each chamber is realistic. So that you would get, you know, 12 years in the U.S. House. If you happen to get elected to the Senate, you would get 12 years there. But then that would be the limit of your service in those elected offices. Now, I think this way we address, you know, some of the commentary that comes that tries to parry this point of view says, well, you know, you're going to hand over so much power to the staff. Well, look, I have 2 points on that. First of all, staff, of course, is always important. Now, even when I was a commander in the United States military, staff played an integral role. And the same with Congress. But the buck stops with the representative,
sure,
and the executive when it comes to our system. So I would say that, number one. Number two is when you move to a system where you limit, you cap experience at 12 years, that is more than enough time. To get
that's six terms,
that's more than enough time to get all, you know, your goals and ideas. It'll be time for new blood, because, you know, the power of the human mind to rationalize is extraordinary.
Mm.
And the people who are down there, they're good people, but they come to believe that there's no one else in their district that,
sure,
can do the job like they can. And what that does is that puts them in a position to be influenced in any number of directions, from leadership, breaking their arm or incentivizing them.
Lobbyists
as well. And I think that when you draw this in closer and you say there's going to be a horizon and then your service will end and you'll go back, I think what I found is it made me more independent. You know, when leadership came, and I had some uncomfortable moments in the first, say, 6 weeks I was down there because they wanted me to vote for the Patriot Act, and I wouldn't do it. I mean, I fought and bled for this country. I believe in it fiercely. But I wasn't going to go down there to shred the Constitution. And the Patriot Act, as designed, you know, provides for roving wiretaps without specificity in the warrant. And the Fourth Amendment makes it clear that with regard to warrants, we need specificity in person, place, or thing. And then, of course, the other issue was Section 215, which was the business records. Now, we've come to know because of the Snowden case, you know, how significant that is. But this was all, when I voted against the Patriot Act, this was all before Snowden. And, you know, the specific comment or stipulation in the statute is that the government shall have the authority to collect relevant information. And I said, what's the legal definition for relevant? They say, hey, you don't need to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to vote for this, you're going to have to tell me. Well, that was the stipulation that was used to collect the metadata on all of us, and it wasn't right. So, you know, when they tried to break my arm, I wouldn't do it. And the good news is this. Once you stand up to leadership, well, then they tend to walk past you and look for somebody else. But I think the term limits is the place to go. And I know we're getting close to the end of time, so maybe in the next segment we can talk about the campaign finance reform that I support and also the independent redistricting that I think is important, and then also restrictions on lobbying for members once they complete their service.
Chris Gibson, it's a heartbreaker for us to see you out of the rotation on Congressional Corner. However, you'll be at Williams College. There are going to be a lot of very fortunate students who will be there with you. And you'll definitely be on our roundtable in the morning every once in a while. Thanks for being with us.